Welcome to the house of the Lord. Welcome to Echo Church. Those that are here for the first time and those that have been here many times, we welcome you. We want to give a quick shout out. Is our Mexico team here? Yeah. We want to welcome Pastor John Ray, who from Olivia's Basket. We've been partnering with him for many years, going down to Mexico to build a home, which sounds so simple, but really, it's like the beginning of revival. When you have a home, you have a chance to have a transformed family. You have a chance for the Holy Spirit to minister. It really starts in a home. So it's a beautiful experience. I hope many more people can participate in the future, and I can't wait to hear the testimonies from this fall's team. Amen. All right, let's pray. Let's get into this word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit is here. It's ministering. It's moving. It's working. It's transforming. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, God. I pray you would be with us as we listen to your word, Lord. Use me as a vessel. Lord, guide us as we go through the book of Galatians, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would minister to us, change us, transform us only as the Holy Spirit can, God. We thank you for this church, all the people around us, people we don't know yet, and our friends and family that are here. Lord, we thank you for this community. We thank you for this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So we are in the stretch run of Galatians, and it's so nice to go through a whole book together, right? Like, we've done this for like 3 months now. We're in the last two chapters, and I equate it to like a podcast. You know, podcasts are like 2-3 hours sometimes, and you listen to the whole thing, but on social media, you get like a clip of a podcast, and oh, that's a good line from the podcast, but you don't really know like the beginning of that conversation or that how that conversation ends. And when we walk through a whole book together, we get to listen to the whole podcast, right? You guys don't listen to podcasts? Okay, I do. I listen to 3-hour podcasts. And what's the word of Galatians? You guys know what the word of Galatians is? Circumcision, right? That is the word of Galatians. If you guys have theologian friends or if you guys have pastor friends, you guys are debating Galatians, like if that ever happens, right? You know what to say, right? You know, Galatians is really about circumcision and arguing about circumcision, right? So you guys know what to say if you ever talk about Galatians, right? So we're in the final two chapters here. Paul is talking about the Holy Spirit, and he's talking about how the Holy Spirit empowers us to receive the gospel. And the Jews are saying the laws are good. They, the Gentiles, should follow the laws. But Paul says, yes, they are good. And they can actually be summed up in one law, love God and love others. But it is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that you can actually fulfill this law. And he goes into his argument here in chapter 5. We're going to start with verse 13. Paul is reiterating the point that they must be led by the Holy Spirit. So let's read God's word. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 15, if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right, we get to talk about sin today. So fun, right? I get to talk about this. So let me tell you a quick story. I know you guys love like my work stories. If you guys don't know, I work as an engineer for the local government. And there's a couple of things we're not allowed to talk about at work, right? Two things we're not allowed to talk about at work. They tell us don't talk about politics and don't talk about religion, right? Why? Because there's so many different types of people at work with strong opinions about different things. And we just generally, we're not supposed to talk about those things because it could create a lot of disunity within the team, a lot of fighting, right? But politics and religion are so fun to talk about, right? They're so fun. Like, I can talk about sports and fantasy football and all that, but like, there gets a point where it's kind of like shallow and it's like, let's talk about something more than just sports, right? So, you know, we go out to lunch, and this is the time where we could talk about our faith, we could talk about religion, we could talk about politics. So I went out to lunch with a friend, and I'm not going to tell you what we talked about, but I'll just tell you generally, it was about race and wealth and inequality, right? Hot topics to talk about at lunch. So we're essentially arguing our positions. We're arguing our positions, and I lose the argument because I had my facts incorrect. I'm not going to tell you what it was, but he busted out his phone and he went to Google and he showed me in my face, your facts are wrong. And I lost the argument, right? And my heart sank because I've been arguing with this guy for 30 minutes and I just lost the argument because I didn't have my facts correct. And you know, I'm kind of competitive, or I can be, and it hurts to lose an argument, right? It hurts to lose. Like everything I was arguing for, everything I was standing up for, it just goes down the drain, right? It goes down the drain. And I didn't even want to continue talking to him at work. I'm just like, hey, let's just go back to work, right? Let's just go back to work. So I'm still kind of seething inside, but you know, I could take my loss. It's a learning experience. I'll get my facts right the next time. This is a process of learning and growing. And we're in the car, we're driving back to work, and this guy, guess what he does, right? He brings it up again, and he goes, he chuckles to himself like, ha ha, I won that argument, you lost that argument, right? It's like, dang it, I'm seething inside. I'm like, oh my gosh, right? Oh my gosh, I want to choke him right now, and I don't even know Brazilian jiu-jitsu, right? I don't. But I wanted to choke him out. And the thoughts are just raging in my head, right? The thoughts are like, I'm never going to have lunch with this guy ever again, right? I don't want anything to do with him. I don't want to associate with him. Because we got into an argument about politics, and there was a clear winner and loser. I was the loser. I'm upset. My flesh has overtaken me for the rest of the day. Pretty much sums up our country today, right? Our world today, right? These arguments, these fights happening all the time. Has this ever happened to you? Right? I'm sure it happens to us all, right? Tension-filled conversations with friends or family, arguments with your spouse, a falling out over a misunderstanding. Happens all the time. We're going back to the Galatian church. This is probably what the Galatian church was dealing with right now, right? The Jews and Gentiles, they are having a religious argument about circumcision, right? Circumcision, our favorite word of Galatians, and the law. The Jews want the Gentiles to follow the law. These laws have existed for thousands of years. How can you just get rid of them, right? The Gentiles are new to this. They're kind of like, well, I'm not sure what to do. Like, we just converted to Christ, and now you're telling us to do this? Like, we're unsure? And then Paul comes down with the hammer, this letter to the Galatian church, and he basically says, you Jews, you guys are the losers here. You guys have lost the argument. The argument about circumcision has been struck down. You can't argue with Paul's logic here. He affirms the law. He says, yes, we should follow the law, love God and love others. He prioritizes Jesus. Nothing can stand equal to Jesus. Jesus is the only way to Christ, or only way to God. He offers the Holy Spirit. This is case closed. Let's go home, everybody, right? Now, how would you feel if you were the Jews arguing for circumcision this whole time? You're probably not like, okay, cool, Paul. I'm down. Thanks for the clarification. We'll continue on loving this Galatian church, right? No, they were probably not like that. They were probably upset inside. They were probably seething, boiling inside, because everything they stood for thousands of years, poof, it's all gone now. No one has to do it anymore. It's like everything I stood for, my culture, my traditions, it's all gone because of this one letter that Paul wrote. So here's what's happening now. There's disunity in the Galatian church. And Paul sees that. Here he says in verse 15, if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other, right? Paul has moved on from convincing everybody about his point, but now he's focused on the unity of this Galatian church. How can they move on after this contentious argument? How can they be unified? How can they be restored to focus on Jesus and not let this incident break them? You get it? And he warns them, if you don't submit to the Holy Spirit, and if you don't submit to one another, these feelings in the flesh, in your mind, they're going to fester and they're going to grow. And they're going to grow and grow. And this is how sin works. It starts very small. And then left unchecked, it grows and it grows and it grows out of control. And it grows into feelings of rage, anger, selfish ambition, discord, factions, and ultimately it leads you to not inheriting the kingdom of God. So this is a key moment for the Jews. Will they get aligned with the Spirit and make the unity of the church the focus? Or will they let their pride and their flesh stand in the way of unity, right? This is a critical moment in the Galatian church. I mean, the obvious answer is obviously we want to avoid sin. We don't want to sin. That's an obvious answer, but so many of us are like the Jews. There is a war being waged inside of us between our flesh and our spirit. We can't forgive people that have hurt us. We can't overlook offenses. We put a spin on people's actions, questioning their intentions. We speak negatively about others. We have critical speech about others. We have personal grievances. This happens everywhere we go. It happens in our families. It happens with our friends. It happens in our workplaces. It even happens in our church places. And then sometimes we don't even share these thoughts with anyone. It's just raging inside of us. This anger, this hurt, they all swirl in our minds and our hearts, and it continues to grow and it festers. And this is how the devil tries to destroy us. We don't want to love people in the midst of this mess. We have no desire to love, no motivation. We have a hard time serving people on a good day, but to serve people in the midst of the mess where sides have been taken, right? No thanks. I don't want to do that. This is too hard for me. Unity is the last thing on my mind for this church. So what do we do when we want to bite and devour each other? That comes more naturally. It's more satisfying to do that, right? We want them to suffer for hurting us. We want them to suffer. We want them to be punished for hurting us, right? What do we do? We have abused our freedom, and instead of being free to love God and love others, we have become slaves to our sin. We have become slaves to our flesh. So Paul offers a solution here in chapter 5 in verse 16. Galatians 5:16 says, so Paul says, so I say, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. What is this walking by the Spirit? Why is it crucial to walk by the Spirit, and how practically can we walk by the Spirit? I think this verse here in verse 16 is so critical in helping us understand how we can overcome our flesh, keep the unity of the church the focus, and we have to walk by the Spirit. And we're going to break it down into three ways we can walk by the Spirit. Number one, we surrender to the Holy Spirit. Number two, we step daily in the Spirit. We step daily in the Holy Spirit. And number three, we submit to one another. So one, we're going to surrender to the Holy Spirit. Say surrender to the Holy Spirit. All right, first, in order to walk by the Spirit, we have to acknowledge that we do not have the answers, okay? Tell your neighbor, I don't have the answers. I don't have the answers, okay? No one has the answers. None of us have the ability to love someone that we hate, right? We don't have that kind of power. We can try to be nice and we can try to be kind to them, but the rage is still gonna rage deep in your heart. Even after we interact with them, you can pretend to be nice, but you know that hatred is still in your heart. We're just pretending. Or we can be indifferent to them. We can ignore them, right? We can ignore people. We can be indifferent to them. We can never interact with them. But that rage is still in your heart, right? But to love them, to love someone you hate, that's going to take a lot more than some good vibes, you know? Thank you, Heidi, for laughing at that. The idea to love our enemies, this is so outrageous. It goes against every fiber of our physical being. So how are we to do this? How are we to love? We have to first surrender to the Spirit and say, I can't do this on my own, right? We have to acknowledge that we cannot do it with our own power. We have to submit our will to the Holy Spirit. This love can only come from the Holy Spirit, this kind of love. We cannot love others without God, and we especially cannot love those we hate without God. Now, this Galatians 5, this passage is often associated with a list of sins, right? Witchcraft and orgies and all sorts of kinds of things. And I'm not going to talk about them, right? Because these sins are symptoms of a bigger issue. These are symptoms of a bigger issue. And really, the root issue is an unwillingness to submit to the Holy Spirit. Because like I said, if we let these little offenses and little wars that are waging in our hearts, if we let them fester and grow, then it can grow into destructive sin that overtakes our life. So I'm not belittling these sins. These sins are huge issues that can ruin communities and families, but I want to focus on the bigger picture here. And the bigger picture is that if you walk by the Spirit, you will have the power to overcome all those struggles and sin. Amen? If you surrender to the Spirit, you will triumph over flesh. So it's not about how much willpower you have. It's not about how much discipline you have. It's really about the Spirit's empowerment, right? God gives us the power to overcome our flesh, right? I just watched Mission Impossible 7 or 9. What is it? The latest one this weekend, right? And they have this scene. They're latching onto the train. That's like the Holy Spirit, the front of the train. You just latch onto that train, and the train will take you. It's the Holy Spirit's empowerment, right? In John 15, Jesus says, abide in the vine, right? You just abide in the vine. You hang on to that main stem, and you just naturally abide in the vine. Then the Holy Spirit naturally comes to you, right? And that is the secret to the success of whatever mess, whatever war is waging in your heart. It is the surrender to the Holy Spirit. It is the only way we can overcome this mess. And so we have to acknowledge our dependence on God and acknowledge that we cannot do it with our own effort. Now, does that mean we do nothing? We just sit back and relax? No. Right? Our wills are absolutely involved. We have to be coupled to that train. We have to be abiding in that vine. We have to want it. And it is not by your effort. You are powered by the Holy Spirit that lives in you. And our flesh wants to fix these problems by ourselves, but we have to acknowledge, we have to admit that it is only by the Holy Spirit transforming us that we can live this Christian life. Amen? It is through Jesus and Jesus alone that we have the power to live this life as adopted sons and daughters of God. Galatians 2:20 just says it best. Everything I've said in the last 5 minutes, Galatians 2:20 says it, okay? Let's just read Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's so good. Let's read that again. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen? Amen. It is Christ who lives in us that gives us the power to live this life. So second, we have to step daily in the Spirit. So walking is not a one-time effort, okay? If you take one step, this is not walking. If you take even two steps, I would not consider that walking. Walking is many, many steps where you continue to go on, right? Do you guys try to do 10,000 steps every day? I try to do 10,000 steps. I usually come up short, but, you know, I try. And, you know, walking is actually not that easy. Taking a step is not that easy, actually, because I actually broke my leg in college. I broke both of these bones right here, and I tore my meniscus. I had knee surgery, and I didn't walk for 5 months. I was on crutches for 5 months, right? And then you take your cast off, and you have to relearn how to walk, right? Shout out to all the physical therapists out there that help people how to walk. But your leg is like this skinny, right? It's like your arm. It's like, what is this? It's an alien leg attached to me, right? And the first thing you have to do is like, you just have to take a step. And you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to take a step. Like, it's more of like a mind game, like a mind trip. Like, I don't know how to take a step. Like, it's just so hard to take a step because you're so used to just walking on one leg for like 5-6 months, right? And you don't even have the muscles to walk. And I didn't run for a year. I didn't run. Like, talking about walking, I didn't run for a year. I didn't play sports for over a year, right? Walking by the Spirit, it takes one step at a time. It is not, there's no shortcut to walking with the Lord. There's no cheat code to walking with the Lord. It takes practice. It takes one step at a time under the power of the Holy Spirit. You take one step. Lord, dominate my thinking today. One step. Lord, be with me right now. Commune with me. Help me build an intimate relationship with you, God. Help me in this meeting I'm going into. Help me in this conversation I'm going into. One step by step, day by day. There's no shortcut to this life with Christ. It is a conscious, intentional practice that we have to go on as we live our daily activities. It means submitting ourselves every day, every moment, every step to the influence of the Holy Spirit to guide us. Right? So I'm leading a men's small group right now. We've been meeting for like 5 weeks. We're still meeting. And, you know, Connie talked about Paul bringing revival. I think that's starting in our small group, right, Paul? Right? And then, you know what? And you know what's the first thing I make all my small group guys do? because I know they may not do it, is I just have them do devotionals every single day, and I make it a competition so that they do it, because that motivates people. Money and competition, right? They do it. They do 7 days a week. They're devotionals, right? Just day by day. And I found this app called the Glorify app. Just shout out. I make them all do it. It's like Instagram, but you're doing your devotionals, okay? Try it out. You can add me as a friend, okay? You take these steps day by day, and you just ask God, you dwell with God, and you're just confident, Holy Spirit, come, and God will deliver the Holy Spirit if you ask. Luke 11:13 says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You just have to ask for the Holy Spirit every day, every moment. When you walk with God, then you get these new God-centered desires in your heart that start crowding out your flesh. They start crowding it out because you're filling yourself with the Holy Spirit. Walking in the Spirit requires a mindset that is set on Christ rather than that is set on yourself. Sin is focused on yourself, but walking with the Spirit is focused on God. And sin is a matter of self-effort, but walking with God is an acknowledgement. Lord, lead me. I don't know what to do. I don't have the answers. I mean, that's an everyday, every moment kind of activity. And verse 16 promises victory over the desires of the flesh. Not that we won't be at war. We won't be at war. But God promises us the victory. Day by day, moment by moment, step by step, cast your cares on Christ. Stop trying to fix all the solutions, all the problems of your world with your own solutions, with all your internet research. Put your soul at rest in the Lord. What do you struggle with daily as you try to walk with God, right? You know, a few weeks ago, Pastor Isaac shared about anxiety in Galatians, right, with Abraham. And I thought that was a really good word because I feel like anxiety is such a key issue for everybody, right? Who doesn't struggle with anxiety? For so many of us, like whenever I talk to someone, I could feel your anxiety. You know that, right? We're pastors. We could feel your anxiety, right? When I go to work, even when I talk to my supervisors, I can feel their anxiety, right? Their fear, like things are not going to work out. I can feel their anxiety. And I also have anxiety, right? And when you talk to me, you could probably hear my anxiety because it's a constant battle for all of us, right? And my wife shared a little bit last week about her anxiety with our kids. And this is a war that wages in me all the time, this anxiety about my kids. Because, you know, we have two special needs kids, and my anxiety amplifies for my kids, right? I worry about them constantly. Like, did they have a good day today at school? That's just basic, right? To, like, future long-term anxieties, like, how will their typical sister handle this family situation as she grows up? Or who will watch them when I pass? Or will they accept Christ? You know, these are anxieties that I have as a parent. And these are anxieties that bombard my mind constantly. I would probably say it takes up the vast majority of what I think about, right? The worries grow in me, and I'm trying to fix an unfixable problem. It's an unfixable problem, right? And I think people can see it because last week one of the buddy's sisters came up to me. She's like, don't worry, Pastor TJ. You're worrying too much about your kids. Like, she can see it in me. She could feel the anxiety in me. So shout out to the buddy's ministry, right? So you stay in this state of anxiety, of fear long enough, and this bitterness and this anger starts to grow in us, right? Resentment for the world that is unaccepting. Anger for the people that dismiss them. And then I get into these states. It's like a vortex, right? I fall into this vortex. I can't get out. And then my wife, she says, snap out of it. Right? This is God speaking to me through my wife. She says, you're not TJ Moody. Stop being so moody. Be TJ Moon, child of God. right? She just snaps and I go, yes, ma'am, yes, yes, ma'am. Lord, forgive me, right? Let's just snap out of it, right? Trust in the Lord. Of course, it doesn't mean I don't struggle with these. It doesn't mean I don't struggle with it again and again. But when it happens, I'm like, oh, this is a reminder. I have to trust in the Lord again and again. Over and over again. And then when I fall, you know what? I wake up and I go, Lord, today is a new day. Your mercies are new every morning. And I tell my kids, this is a new day. God's mercies are new every morning. It's a clean slate. It's a clean slate. We get to start over. Lord, I give you control today. And I take a new step and let your spirit do your work today. Amen? Amen. And then we submit to one another. What is the sign that you are walking by the Spirit? Paul reminds us in verse 14, the law of the Spirit helps us fulfill the law, can be summed up in one line, for the entire law can be fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Some other translations say, be a slave to another in love. Like, what a radical statement to say to be a slave to one another in this society where being a slave is the lowest of the lows, right? You purposely put yourself at the lowest position to serve others. No rational person would ever choose to do this, to give up their power, to give up their position, to give up their wealth. But you know the Spirit is working in a person's life by their submission to one another. This is the type of love that the Spirit of God creates. And this should be the hallmark of Christianity. Love for one another, but not just love for people that agree with us, look like us, act like us, but people that are different than us, people that we disagree with, people that we are at odds with. And this is exemplified by the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, right? The Good Samaritan, the Samaritan woman, or Samaritan is not a woman, but the Samaritan person who's fallen on the road is a Samaritan. They are the enemy to the Jews, right? Oh no, the Jew fell on the road. The Samaritan is walking. Sorry. But the point is the love for people that we would consider our enemies, right? The Holy Spirit longs for reconciliation. It longs to bring people together for love one another, to love one another. And this is an indicator that the Spirit is working when people are reconciled. And the church, our church, it should be an oasis. It should be a place where reconciliation happens, where people feel at rest, where people feel safe, where there's healing that takes place, right? Because this is what naturally happens when you walk by the Spirit. People who try to love without relying on the Spirit will see how difficult it is to love without the Spirit and how short they will fall. But loving others will be a natural byproduct of walking with the Spirit. So what's the point of all this in Galatians? We go back to Galatians. Paul is urging us to walk by the Spirit and to submit to one another in love. Paul wants this Galatian church to be unified, right? But what's so special about unification? Why can't we just agree to disagree? Is it worth all this trouble? Because reconciliation is hard work. And Christian unity, Christian reconciliation, it is a high and hard call. This is not easy to do. An almost impossible call without God. It's not about fulfilling our expectations, but really it's about displaying the reality of the redeeming love of God. And this is what the Lord calls us to do. Philippians 2, 1 through 4 says it like this. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being unified with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. The pursuit of unity is hard because the love of God is costly. It takes up our time, it takes up our energy, it takes up our emotions. But Jesus dying on the cross was hard. It took up his emotions. It took up his energy. It took up his time. An incredible sacrifice. But was it worth it? Yeah, heck yeah, it was worth it. Right? And God calls us to show the same type of love to the whole world because it will be worth it. It's worth it. You know, this whole world is longing to live in peace. They're longing to be free from anxiety, free from tension, free from disagreements. It's not enjoyable to be at war, right? It's not. Nobody longs for this. The world is longing to be free from this. And Paul offers this freedom and says, if you want this freedom, you have to walk this way. You have to walk by the Spirit and surrender to the Spirit daily and let your love for others be the sign. And the church, this church, Echo Church, we have to be the example of Christ for the whole world, right? To use our freedom not to condemn one another, but to reconcile and to be unified with those that differ from us. And this is how the world will know that we are his disciples. So I have a story to share, an example of this. You know, when I was a sixth grader, 1992, if you guys don't remember, the LA riots happened here in Los Angeles. Some of you guys may not have been around, but the LA riots started because there was racial tension. The acquittal of Rodney King, who was beaten by cops, acquittal of the officers who beat up Rodney King, and it started riots all over Los Angeles, right? But it wasn't just that caused the riots. There was a lot of things that happened before that. It's not just one event, but it's many events, right? And one of those events that happened were with the Korean American and African American community in Los Angeles, because a lot of Korean Americans own businesses in African American communities, and African Americans felt that they were taken advantage of. They were stereotyped as criminals by Koreans. And there was a killing of a young girl by a Korean store owner. And tensions were high between, you know, Korean Americans and blacks during the LA riots in 1992. A lot of finger pointing, a lot of arguments, a lot of blame, a lot of hurt, right? And I don't remember a lot during this time in 1992. I was a child, but I was part of this dancing troupe. I know, hard to believe, right? So stiff up here. But I was part of this dancing troupe called God's Image. You guys know God's Image, right? Yeah, I was really part of God's Image, right? Like, I know all the moves still because we practiced so hard, right? And it was a dancing troupe of mostly Korean-American kids, but our leader said, we have to do something about this. There's disunity in the church. Because if there's one thing blacks and Koreans have in common, is we both love Jesus, right? And so we have to show the world that we can reconcile because we are Christian. We are the church, right? So I remember going to the first AME church in downtown Los Angeles, right? I remember going there. We have this whole troupe of dancers, and we dance. We practice with all these other black kids as well. And we do a dance together to show unity. We sit with them, we talk with them, we befriend them. And it's a sign of unity that the church is united, that the church can overcome this struggle, right? And we did this joint performance. And then at the end, we all held hands and we sang this song, We Are the Lord's Own Family. You guys know this song? We are the Lord's own family. Our love is what the world should see. And as we use his love to build each other up, we're building the Lord's own family, right? So we sang this song, and we basically were saying, we are the church, and we're not going to let disunity break us. we are the church and we are going to be united. And I think the church was so critical in bringing reconciliation to those tense moments in 1992. And that's what I remember. I remember all these riots happening, but I also remember the church stepping up and saying, we need to be unified in Christ. And what we did is we walked by the Spirit. We listened to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, what do you want us to do? The Holy Spirit convicts us to seek reconciliation, to seek unity. We surrender ourselves to the Spirit and we chose unity in Christ over any disagreement. Unity in Christ is paramount. And we're going to show this entire world that Christ is the answer, that the Holy Spirit is the answer. And if we can walk by the Spirit, we can be unified in Christ. And this is God's heart for us, that we would be one family, adopted sons and daughters under Abraham's family, that we will be unified as one family, that we can all become part of God's family in Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, won't you speak to us, God, right now? What is the war that is waging in me right now? What is the grievance? What is the offense in me? What is the hurt in me, God? Lord, we want to nip it at the bud right now. We don't want it to fester and grow and let it ruin our lives, ruin our community. Lord, Holy Spirit, reveal our sin to us so that we can acknowledge that it is not by my might, but it is only by your grace that we can overcome this struggle. So Lord, reveal our sins to us, not to condemn us, but to free us so that we can be free to love God and love others, God. Holy Spirit, I pray for the unity of this church. I pray for the unity of the universal church, God. So much brokenness, so much argument, disagreement. Lord, send revival. Send renewal. Start with me, start with us. As we walk by your Spirit every day, we daily commune with you, God. Guide us and lead us in your Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we pray for Echo Church. We pray for the universal church, God, that we will be subject to your Holy Spirit, that we will be surrendered to your Holy Spirit, not for a moment, not for a day, but daily, today, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, every single day of the week, every moment of our lives, that we will be submitted to the Holy Spirit. And Lord, let our love for one another be the sign that you are working in our lives. So we bless this church in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May Christ be victorious in your life. Amen. Amen. We're going to have intercessors in the front to pray for you. If you want prayer, if you want to confess your sins, if you want the Holy Spirit to minister to you. So I want to welcome you to come be prayed for as well. Thank you, everyone. Have a great week.